This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. RT. Sputnik News. These are parts of the Kremlin's conduct these days of the war in Ukraine. And indeed, for many years now, the Kremlin has promoted its version of the world through RT, Russian TV, and Sputnik News. I welcome Ivana Strodner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing most recently with her colleague Emanuele Ottolenghi about RT and Sputnik News and what is to be done, because it will surprise all of you to know, though they have been taken off some of the regular cables in America, DirecTV, for example, or Dish, they are available on their websites routinely to anyone in the United States, anyone around the world. Unless, Ivana, a very good evening to you. I've said they're connected to the Kremlin. That is an understatement. What is RTV? What is Sputnik News? How does the Kremlin regard them? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you very much again for inviting me to speak with you on your show. So RT and Sputnik, they are Russian state-controlled news network that were basically funded and controlled by the Russian government. And they operate in a fascinating manner as a Russian soft power to win hearts and minds across the globe, but more importantly, to spread Russian narratives as Russian government mouthpieces and how Russia perceives foreign policy.
For example, the very shocking death of a young journalist, Daria Dagina, in a Moscow suburb. Right now, you can go to either of these outlets and see that the presentation is to accuse Ukraine, to accuse individuals in Ukraine, to suggest Estonia might be part of this, and to make claims of revenge. That's going on right now as an example of how RT gets its message out, or Sputnik News gets its message out. And is your measure, Ivana, that that news is believed around the world? Is it successful?
So to begin with, I have to also emphasize that not many people across the globe speak Russian. So outlets like RT or Sputnik are very useful to the Kremlin because they deliver messages not only in English, but all other languages across the globe. And even though this particular message that you just mentioned about Dugina, who was just killed a few days ago, and the Russian narrative that this actually was conducted by Ukraine might not actually win the support in the United States or somewhere else in the West. Such messages are very, very prevalent and very much, you know, believed in other places. I'll just give you examples. You just gave an example of what happened with Dugina. But like in Africa, for example, Russia has a full information operations system on how to actually win the support of people over there. So within the latest food crisis, Russia has been peddling through social media and through local networks, including RT and Sputnik, the same messages that, for example, the United States is responsible for the food crisis in Africa. And that is important because setting informational conditions for further escalations and then to blame the West or to blame Ukraine. That's one, you know, who controls the information space controls the narrative, and who controls the narrative controls the battlefield.
Yes, you point to the defense minister Shoigu saying that this is an information war. So let's come to what is possible and what hasn't happened right now. As I understand it from your reporting, the Treasury Department, which routinely sanctions Russian individuals, Russian enterprises, anything to do with the conduct of the war, has not sanctioned Russia, RT or Sputnik News. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that's something that I think, you know, we have a lot of reason why we should actually sanction RT and Sputnik. And I just want to emphasize one thing. I'm a great proponent, you know, of this, of the First Amendment, but this has nothing to do with the Constitution's First Amendment rights, you know, the protected our Constitution protect, because neither RT nor Sputnik News are actually in the United States. They operate, you know, from Russia, and they use information as a weapon to spread disinformation, but even more importantly, to create chaos. And this is why I cannot emphasize enough that this is not some random propaganda. We should stop talking about Russia's disinformation as a random rhetorics. Like, this is the Russian military considers information as the weapon, and we should actually perceive it as such if we want to counter Russia in the information space.
I also learned from you that the U.S. Treasury Department that sanctions individuals around the world, Iran, Venezuela, other countries, in addition to Russia, does very carefully watch the activities of TV channels or news sources that are associated with terrorist organizations. You mentioned Al-Manar and Al-Nur TV, Hamas's Al-Aqsa Television, Iran State Television, IRIB, Venezuela's Globovision Tele. The one I didn't know from this list is from the Bosnia Serb channel Alternativna Televizija. What does that represent in Western Balkans? What is the influence it conveys?
So Alternativna Televizija, it is actually associated platform with Milorad Dodik, who has been threatening secession of Bosnia for many years. And the Biden administration, they put forward executive order that basically allows the administration to sanction all individuals who undermine the peace and stability in the Balkans. And Russia, along with its proxies such as Dodik, has been peddling disinformation campaign and sowing chaos and adding more fuel to the fire in the region in order to destabilize Bosnia and to trigger secessionist movements. So no wonder why the United States has decided to approach Alternativna Televizija in such a manner.
So the Alternativna Televizija is sanctioned for human rights violations, corruption, terrorist recruitment, intelligence gathering. This begins to sound a lot like the Kremlin. And
I would rather say, you know, that they were sanctioned mostly for their corrupt and destabilizing activities that were associated with secessionist movements and Milorad Dodik.
And the Treasury,
so very much they function like Russia's. They function with the Russian playbook.
So it isn't that the Treasury is asleep or ignoring this. It does very carefully make a distinction between organizations associated with terrorists and those that are not. And as of right now, is it your understanding that Treasury does not regard the Kremlin's conduct in Ukraine as terrorism? That's a separate category. How are they thinking about it?
I mean, to begin with, it's not only that they should perceive it, you know, through the terrorist lenses. It's already enough, you know, that you explain how channels, for example, can destabilize the region and can trigger like a more conflict, because in the Russian military strategy, information operations are subordinate to the kinetic use of force. And they're the part of Russia's hybrid warfare playbook. So this is why I cannot emphasize enough that the Russian military perceives information operations in a very different manner than we do here in the U.S.
Let's go to the Russian Ministry of Truth. This is Ivana Strodner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing about two particular entities, RT, Russian TV, and Sputnik News, which are in many languages. But the source of the information on RT and Sputnik News is the Kremlin. And in the Kremlin, there is thinking about what needs to be advanced, what needs to be protected, how the story should be told. When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.